This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil, now streaming, only on Hulu.
We're not drowning in new shows. We're waving with both hands to say hello and goodbye to new series and departing favorites.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well, you'll see.
I shall follow your lead.
I'm Jared Hall from Entertainment Weekly, and here's what to watch. On Thursday, April 4th, we have coverage of the latest news, plus reviews, interviews, and more at EW.com. But right now, let's get to our top picks of the day. The USS Discovery is about to take flight for the last time, allegedly. Though the transported pad always feels open to anyone from the Star Trek canon to return, especially as Paramount Plus begins to chart its next moves for the franchise. As of right now, Star Trek Discovery will kick off the beginning of its end with the premiere of its fifth and final season tonight. Here's a preview.
Last dance.
I shall follow your lead.
The greatest treasure in the known galaxy is out there. It's more important than you can imagine.
We're on a search for one of the greatest powers ever known.
It could be very dangerous in the wrong hands.
This clue is the most important thing. We have to keep it safe.
Let's fly.
Let's fly indeed, and we are on a treasure hunt. Sinequa Martin-Green returns as Captain Burnham to lead her crew on a mission to find one of the galaxy's most coveted treasures, which contains the answers to humanity's biggest burning questions. Consider me intrigued. Star Trek Discovery's final season premieres today on Paramount Plus.
Trivia!
It's trivia time! The end of Star Trek Discovery is the end of a significant chapter in the Star Trek universe. We've become used to seeing lots of Star Trek shows airing simultaneously, from the animated Lower Decks to Strange New Worlds and Picard. But Discovery was not only the first Star Trek show to debut on a streaming service, it was a return to TV for Star Trek, which had been without any active TV show for 12 years when Discovery premiered in 2017. But what was the last Star Trek show to air before Discovery? Was it Star Trek Prodigy, Star Trek Voyager, or Star Trek Enterprise? Stick around for the answer.
Number two.
In addition to our daily picks for new shows and movies airing today, EW staff members are joining me to make their own recommendations for things both classic and current that they think you should be watching. And joining me now with his pick is EW social media director Alamin Johannes. Hey, Alamin, how's it going?
Hello, hello. How are you? I'm good.
Hi, I'm great. Thanks. Listen, I'm always excited when you're here on the podcast because you always recommend things that, honestly, I have usually never even heard of, and that's why I love, because you take in so much international entertainment and pop culture, and you're delivering on that again today. So please, without further ado, tell everyone what your pick is and a short little explanation of what it's about.
Sure. I'm choosing Furies. It is a French action series that is on Netflix. It is about a woman who goes by the name, you've guessed it, the Fury. Her job is to handle conflict between the city's six mafia families.
Six mafia families?
Yes.
Wow.
Mainly through violence, but she does get things done. And then there's a woman named Lena. Now, Lena's family is part of the criminal underworld, but she has chosen a life away from crime. That is, until her family is attacked, she gets into a lot of trouble and then takes on the mission of trying to find the Fury. It gets more complicated than that, but that's the gist.
Okay, so having said all of that, I know based on what you've said would get my attention, but what initially was the hook here for you that you're like, oh, this is something I'm going to sit down and binge?
Well, it does kind of give the energy of a show that is made for me. Like you mentioned, I love love an international show. Mm-hmm. I just like the idea of sitting at home and pretending I'm somewhere else. That really that really does it for
fair
me.
Fair enough.
But also, I do love action projects, but mainly like hand-to-hand combat action, not so much like explosions action and that. And this show gives that in a really big way.
Got it. So I'm thinking of another. There's a very popular French show that some folks have probably watched on Netflix, Lupin, or Lupin, if you want to go with the really French pronunciation. But there's a lot of action in that show. Would you say like there might be not necessarily similarities, but if you liked Lupin, you would probably like Furies?
There is one similarity. I would say that there's eccentric characters on both. Mm-hmm. I think for Furies, for me, it's the action. Yes. And I think that's a big part of it. And I want to get back to that. But to answer your actual question, each of the mafia families on Furies has a very specific vibe. Fury and Lena couldn't be more different from one another. So the fact that they have to spend all this time together adds this like layer of comedy amongst all of the action and fighting. And then also the Fury has a very small team and they give a nice family vibe. I'd say the other members of the family give more family vibe than the Fury, who is very stern and like funny in a sarcastic way. But I think those are the similarities where I think the people on Lupin and the people on Fury kind of grab your attention. I'd say the action between the two shows is a little bit different. Lupin does a little bit more cloak and dagger, heisty kind of tricks and that sort of thing. And on Furies, it's violence. I mean, really and truly, there is a lot of hand-to-hand combat shooting action scenes in it, and that's kind of where the action comes from.
All set within a beautiful city, a beautiful country.
Listen, it's beautiful, and they mess it up. They really do mess it up. And that's the thing I'll say about the show is that, like, the action sequences, yes, they're violent and all that, but, like, they're very intricate. They're interesting to watch. There are these, like, you know, slow motion moments, and there's like surprises in the sequences, you know, and that's for both the Fury and Lena. Like the Fury is a seasoned fighter. Lena is not so much when we meet her, is how I'll put that. but I think in both ways they deliver on like making them fun and interesting to watch. It isn't just kind of like they're beating each other up. They're like, you know, and I will highlight one that is later on in the season that I won't spoil, but is set in a prison that is just very fun. And there's lots of little different moving pieces and, you know, things happening, but they really do deliver on like interesting high octane action.
Got it. Okay. And see, now you're saying something set in a prison, there's all this hand to hand combat. And now I'm also kind of thinking of the Chris Hemsworth movie Extraction, because there was that amazing sequence in Extraction 2 that was all set like a prison breakout. And of course, Chris Hemsworth is like really in those fight scenes. I mean, all those people are. So also, if you like that, it sounds like you're going to get a little bit of that kind of fix from this one, too.
Yeah, no, they do. I mean, listen, Extraction 2 blew a lot more things up than I'd say Furies does.
Yeah.
But in terms
of
the actual, in terms of the hand-to-hand combat, I'd say that's on par. That's fair.
Very cool. All right. Well, as you tease a little bit that prison episode, are there any other like moments or things that you're just like, you got to stick around for it? This thing is just going to blow your mind.
I will say what surprised me is how much heart is in this. I think like I mentioned the Fury's kind of family dynamic, which does not come from the Fury herself, but does come from the unit, you know, the unit of people that she keeps around her. But there's also like Lena has her boyfriend who is a cop on the show. And apart from her being a criminal and him being a cop and that kind of madness, like he really cares about her and they kind of keeps that going even when it gets him into more and more trouble. So I will say like amongst all of the fighting and all of the stuff, there's a nice family story in there of several different kinds. Mm-hmm. And there's heart and comedy on this show. Not an equal measure, but I will say everything kind of balances out.
Yeah.
So there's something for most people, because look, some people don't like the gore and the violence of it all, and I hear it. But there is something in this show for most people, is what I would say.
Well, I mean, look, that heart that you're talking about, that's really important from an audience perspective, because we gotta care about the characters. We have to have people to root for as well. So it sounds like they're delivering on all of that. And like I said earlier, this is often I have never heard of some of the shows that you recommend, and I have then gone on to watch them. This is another one. It just debuted in March, by the way, on Netflix. So you can watch that so far one and only season of Furies right there on Netflix. Alamin, thanks as always.
Anytime. Anytime.
All right, folks. Well, don't go anywhere. What to Watch? We'll be right back with our top pick of the day.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Welcome back to BW's What to Watch. Believe it or not, Ripley's series adaptation debut has finally arrived. Now, you know him as Fleabag's hot priest, but Andrew Scott is trying on a new, much more sinful profession in Netflix's new limited series starring Scott as the infamous Tom Ripley from Patricia Highsmith's best-selling novels. Tom is a grifter, barely scraping by in 1960s New York, until an opportunity takes him to Italy, kickstarting a life of deceit, fraud, and even murder. Here's the trailer.
May I ask you to describe Thomas Ripley? What line of work are you in, Tom?
Accounting.
You're a very hard man to find.
He came to Italy, moved into Dickie's house. He just wouldn't go away.
You like art, Tom? You're in the right place.
You like art, Tom? Well, you're in the right place.
Tom is one of those people who takes advantage of people. He's taking advantage of Dickie.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
False IDs, bank letters. What's going on, Tom?
You crazy?
I don't trust him. He's a liar. It's his profession.
The corpse was found on the Via Piantica, struck on the head by some heavy instrument.
My God.
This is what I do for a living. You're interfering.
I'd like you to leave.
I bet you would.
Someone is dead in Rome, and Signor Ripley is missing. This is the situation.
Dakota Fanning, John Malkovich, and Johnny Flynn all join Scott in the cast of this highly anticipated series. All 8 episodes of Ripley debut today on Netflix.
Trivia.
And finally today, the answer to our trivia question. When Star Trek Discovery premiered in 2017, it was the first Star Trek TV show to air in 12 years. What was the last show before Discovery? Star Trek Prodigy, Star Trek Voyager, or Star Trek Enterprise? Well, this one might be an easy one for Trekkies. Prodigy is a currently airing animated show, and Voyager ran for 172 episodes from 1995 to 2001. So the answer is Star Trek Enterprise, which ran for four seasons from 2001 to 2005. The show, which aired on UPN, was the sixth live-action Star Trek series and was a prequel to Star Trek: The Original Series. And that is it for our show today. We will have more must-see picks for you tomorrow, so be sure to follow or subscribe to What to Watch so you don't miss our daily recommendations, more of which can be found at EW.com. I'm Executive Editor Jared Hall. You can find us on X, formerly known as Twitter, at EW and at Jared Hall. Thanks for listening and have a great day. This episode of What to Watch was written by Dustin Nelson, Nick Romano, and Sydney Buxbaum, edited by Sammy Junio, and hosted and produced by Jared Hall.
What to Watch.